Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord, for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, that we've got our war clothes on, battle gear on, and the faction has no chance. The enemy has no chance, because we know that when we pray, that we've got an open heaven. When we pray, God listens. The angels go to work. Lord, we don't want these angels sitting around like they used to, waiting on us to give them a job. Father, we just thank you right now that you're going to send them out to fight the faction. We cast down all witchcraft curses spoken against this fellowship in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that all of our vehicles are running just exactly at top notch, getting great gas mileage, and that our computers and phones are working just like they're supposed to, that no interference from the enemy can penetrate in the name of Jesus. We cast it all down. We thank you, Father, that we have a hedge of protection around everything that's ours. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us, too. You got us on that narrow road, but it's a narrow road that we like to be on, because we know that Jesus is in charge. The Holy Spirit is leading us, guiding us, and showing us the way. And Father, we praise you for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. Lord, give us wisdom, give us discernment, give us knowledge, give us revelations out of your word tonight. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everyone here is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that we're all being led, because we do the things that you want us to do during the day. Read and study your word. Keep our eyes focused on you, and not on our senses, but on you. And we praise you, Father, that we're confessing the good word about ourselves, of what the word says about us. And we praise you, Father, that our confession is all in you. And we thank you, Father, for all you're going to do this evening, in Jesus' name, or day, whichever, wherever it is, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your overcoming power tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Blessing Josie, yeah. All right. Anybody got a praise report?
I have one.
Oh, let's go, Phil. Let's hear it.
All righty. So I'm sure you all know, this weekend we were driving to Missouri, loading up David and Elena's stuff and hauling back to Tennessee. And we were driving a big truck, and a trailer that was completely empty and nothing on it, just an empty trailer and a big truck, which is also pretty much just had us in it. And we got there spending about $500-something, that's over $500, just on fuel alone, petrol or gas, whatever you call it. And I shared with Michael and a couple others, and I said, hey, our gas mileage really stank on the way down. Let's pray and believe. And Michael prayed and believed, and we all did, that we're going to get better gas mileage on the way back. So we loaded up this trailer full. I mean, it was a big box trailer, 16 foot long. My height, I could walk inside. So it was over 6 feet, and it was also over 6 feet wide, just barely. It was full trailer. And
I ain't never seen somebody pack a trailer like they packed that trailer. If, I mean, you couldn't get a piece of paper in that bad boy once they got it filled up. It was packed.
Oh, yeah. It was to the very top. The whole thing was loaded. I had to catch boxes when I opened the doors. So on the way there, it's all pretty much downhill because this is like a mountainous area, and where we live is just flat, you know. And so we were hauling downhill, and I still paid over $500 in fuel empty. So now I'm fully loaded, got the blessing, got the anointing, hauling up these mountains, trying to get back to Tennessee. And we paid less than $400. It's $350-ish for fuel. Fully loaded. I mean, the truck was full. The bed was full. We were just packed to the brim. And it was a smooth ride. No issues. Just beautiful. Greg was helping me stay awake. Julie was helping stay awake. And praise the Lord, we just had an awesome testimony there.
That is awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. That is awesome.
I think we had an angel pushing us.
He could have had a couple of big as that was. Amen. Awesome.
Thank you, Father. I have a testimony to share as well.
Okay, Lauren.
This is the one from last night. So this past, about a week and a half ago, we were doing a fast, and as had been with my fasts for the last, I'd say year or so, I was really struggling to fast. And I couldn't really figure out why, because when I checked with my body physically, I was not hungry. My body was fine. I should be able to fast. But mentally, I could not. And as I was walking around my home thinking about this fast and how I was struggling, this word came to my mind. This is torment. And I thought, torment means I need to check myself. I need to start working my way backwards. What is this all about? And so I did throughout the day. And I ended up confessing to my husband and repenting before the Lord of my idolatry over food. And I feel like the Lord led me to this point in where it started in interfering with my fast in the last year. You know how they say, you know, the Lord gives you enough till it comes out of your nostrils. And so it was affecting me so badly and mentally and emotionally that it was basically coming out of my nostrils in a spiritual sense. And I was so sick of it. I had to confess it to the Lord. But I used to have a blog. I've done so much with food over the years. I mean, I've been working with food since my first job, really. And I love it. I love cooking. I love food science. I love blogs. I love blogging. I love food pictures. I love food, everything. But it never affected me in a spiritual sense, or I was never aware of it up until the last year. And I think, the Lord was like, it's time for you to stop. And, he's been doing various things in my life over this. And he's been so good, so gentle, so kind as he delivered me of various food things that I was in love with. And I finally let them go and realized they were not worth my time and my efforts. And so when I confessed this to the Lord and repented, the next day I was able to fast with absolutely no problem. And mind you, I used to fast all the time. I fasted for days at a time. When I was fasting for my beloved husband, the Lord just put that burden on me, and I was able to go and fast no problem at all. And it's not only because I had a desire to be married and wanted the Lord to send me a husband, but I had no problem fasting. And so, the torment was to the point where I was fasting and all I could think about was how to get a hold of some food without breaking fast. Like, how do you do that? You can't, but that's all you can think about. And since my repentance and deliverance, I remember I had prayed with the sisters about the Lord helping me change my appetite, my eating habits. I had really, really bad eating habits. I couldn't go without caffeine, or at least I thought I couldn't. Sugar, the sweet tooth, crazy stuff. And for the last week, I have been able to say no to those things without a second thought. I have been enjoying salads like I should, with plenty of protein. The carbs are behind me somewhere. I've been walking in so much freedom, in so much rest over this. It's been incredibly amazing. And I am so full of joy that I eat when I need to, and I don't need any more than that. And that I am not in bondage to food anymore. So praise the Lord for that.
That is awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you for your grace, Lord, upon me. That's what I'm asking. All right. Go ahead, Claire. I'm sorry, Claire.
I want that.
Sorry. Really?
Give it to me, Lord. Yeah, so I have come a long way, but I would like that freedom. So if you could pray for me, Michael, that'd be great.
All right, I'm going to pray for everybody that wants it. Just receive it. Father, we thank you for that same anointing upon everybody here who wants to eat right and only what we need, not what we want. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you, Father, that it's not going to be a burden on us. Your grace is going to abound upon us, that we will be able to survive without sugar, survive without caffeine, survive without baloney, survive without Mountain Dews, and all of those things, Lord, that are not good for us. And we praise you, Father, that from this point on, you're going to keep us on that narrow road, that food is no longer an idol in our life. In Jesus' mighty name. And I receive it, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. From this point on, and I praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, Geneva.
Amen from this point on, because I just ate Little Caesar's pizza and I enjoyed every bit of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Had the crazy bread in there and everything. All right. But anyways, yeah. Thank the Lord, though. The Lord's actually really has blessed us since we've had Micah to do a lot better with our eating choices. Also, too, just kind of saving money. It helps with that. but I actually wanted to... Okay. So today has been another trying day. I think I told you all a little bit back that my boss had kind of had a talk with me just about, just kind of work and staying caught up on some things. And I don't mean this in like a prideful way by no means, but I do feel that I am, I'm a decent social worker. That doesn't sound very good, but I do legitimately care about my patients and I pray for them and I get my work done, but I'm not, me and Isaac actually were just talking about this. I'm not a butt kisser by no means. So, and I never have been, that's just not what I do. I also don't feel that that's right, but, I guess what I'm trying to say is, there's a lot of people in my job, and like Julie was saying, you know, I work with a lot of women, so there's a lot of Jezebel spirits going on. and anyways, you all know that I've been praying for a while that, you know, Lord, make me a stay-at-home mom, and Morgan actually just started his new job, praise the Lord, and he loves it, and, you know, I'm really thankful about that. But I have, so... I don't know how to, I've been wanting to tell you all this, but I don't really know how to go about this, to say it how I want to say it. Lord, help me. So for the longest time, I have had resentment toward my hometown, Owensboro, Kentucky, because of reasons with Morgan's family, his father-in-law being, you know, just a difficult person, and just a lot of reasons. Also too, you know, loved ones that we have there, they're not there anymore, you know, they've passed. And so it's just like, I've really struggled with that. And, you know, a big reason me and Morgan, we always wanted to move to Florida because we just always wanted to, and, you know, the Lord paved the way and we did, but I feel like God has really been opening up my heart and my mind to not, I guess to not want, it's not about what Geneva wants anymore. It's about what he wants. And I feel that the Lord has really just, he's done a lot in my heart here lately, like getting rid of distractions and, you know, distractions I didn't even really know were distractions. And I've just been really just, when I have a spare moment that I'm not, you know, doing like taking care of the baby or doing whatever, like I'll just read my word on my phone or whatever it is. And anyways, I feel like the Lord's been just pulling me a lot of ways. And, you know, I feel like I finally came down. I finally come to the point where, you know, like I'm just praying. I'm praying for Morgan's family and I'm believing for them. And I love them. I love them in Jesus' name. And I'm thankful for my father-in-law. But I, you know, I don't want to fear where the Lord wants to take me. I want to be completely willing and be ready to go where he wants us to go. And after, you know, this hurricane, like I said, it's really given me a new perspective and really just kind of shaking me up on living here. But really just, you know, I feel like I'm in this place in my life where it's like, I don't know what the Lord has in store. And I don't know what, you know, before, if you would have asked me, I would have told you I had all these plans, but now I'm just like, God, whatever you want, because the most important thing is for me to be with my little baby girl. And to be, you know, a godly wife to Morgan. And the more we talk about this, the more it's just ingrained into my thinking and, you know, just thanking the Lord for the mind of Christ. So anyways, all that to explain this, my boss once again told me today, and, you know, like we had that hurricane and then we were in Georgia and then I had some time off of work. So I haven't even really had like a normal work schedule within, I would say, almost three weeks or so. But she contacted me today and was like, you know, Geneva, we need to talk about some things. We kind of need to, you know, I think we need to have you supervised by our lead social worker just to kind of, basically, they want to kind of spy on me, see what I'm doing. And I don't, I'll tell you right now, I know that this is, so they're trying to get rid of a bunch of people. They're trying to lay off a bunch of people at my job right now. And the main lady who's in charge of this whole thing is a bisexual woman. So there's just, you know, there's a lot of Jezebel, a lot of spirits going on. And anyways, I was like, I told my boss, you know, I was like, I haven't even gotten a chance to like prove myself to you since we've talked last. You know, we've had all this stuff going on and the hurricane and everything of that sort. So here I am now kind of, you know, I was like, I feel like I'm getting in trouble again and I haven't even had an opportunity. And so anyways, you know, long story short, she sent me an email today with that, her boss, who is the bisexual lady I'm talking about, saying that they want me to be supervised. Basically, I'm kind of being put on a work plan for reasons I have no idea. I get my job done. I do everything I'm supposed to do. It's because I'm the Lord's and I'm to be persecuted. And, you know, this is just a plan, but I know that God is doing something here. And I was telling Isaac on the phone and I was telling Morgan, I was like, you know, this is a scary position to be in when you have bills to pay and stuff and things. But I know that God is going to provide. And if the Lord wants me to lose my job for me to be a stay at home mom, hey, so be it. Like I am excited for this opportunity. So, you know, whatever the Lord has in store here for this situation, I'm not going to let fear overtake me. You know, it's not going to happen. And, you know, a scripture came to my heart when I was driving, you know, let God be found true and every man a liar. You know, I know what his promises are. And I know that God is, he's going to take care of us. And whether he wants us to move and be done with Florida, or whether he wants us to stay and figure something out, I am holding on to that promise. And I'm believing that I'm not going to work anymore. And I'm going to work around the house. I'm going to be a good helpmeet. I'm going to take care of the baby. And, you know, Lord's going to bless Morgan and like he is, like he has been. And I just want to be content for the first time in my life with not knowing, with, you know, just trusting the Lord. You know, if we can ever just find a place to where we can be content with just trusting in the Lord, not knowing what tomorrow brings, man, what a special spot to be in, and a spot that God can really use us, you know? So I feel like that's kind of where I'm at, because things are so shaky with my job right now. And like I said, I really can't tell you what I've done. I don't know, but, you know, I know I go in there and I pray for my patients and I do the best I can do. But God's going to take care of the rest of it. So, you know, if you all just agree with me when I pray, but also too, like, I'm just going to go on and give the Lord glory and thanks, because, he's behind this and before this. And, I'm just thankful for what he's going to do, because I know that, my prayers are being heard and I know they're going to come to pass. So, yeah.
While you're praying, I want you to pray for your bosses. Pray for them and bless them.
Alrighty.
Okay.
We'll do that.
We'll follow with you.
All right. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for just everything that you've been doing, God. I thank you, Lord, for this situation before me that you've placed in front of me. And, God, just see me through this, and I rebuke any fear or anxiety or worry trying to come through me or come to Morgan, come to any of us, Lord. I know, God, that you're going to take care of this situation. You already have, Father. And Lord, be with my boss. I ask, Lord, that you be with Mary Beth. I don't know what she's going through, but I know you do. And I know, Lord, that she has really tried her best to help me in a lot of situations. And God, just bless her. And, Lord, I ask, Father, that she come to know you. And, Lord, let her not be swayed by, things around her, Father. And, Lord, I ask, God, that this other lady, Lord, this nasty spirit, Jesus, I ask, Father, that you show yourself to these women, God, and help me to be a light, Lord. Help me to be a light and to be representation of your peace. And that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And that, Lord, no matter what happens, God, I'm not swayed. Lord, help me just to be, help me to be you, Jesus, in the midst of this chaos. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that our family's protected and we're taken care of. And I rebuke any of these spirits trying to come off on me throughout my workday. In the name of Jesus, I'm protected in the blood of Jesus Christ. Flows through me and is all over me. And Lord, just be with these people, God, that I'm meant to help. Help me to just be a comfort, Father, and to have the angels around me, God, when they're taking their last breath, Father. And Jesus, you know the situation. You know their life. And God, I just ask, Lord, that people feel the presence of Jesus when I'm in the room. And I thank you, God. I know you're going to work all things out for good of those who love you. And we love you, Lord. And I just thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We just believe with Geneva that everything that she's prayed, Lord, is going to come to pass. And we praise you, Father, that she is a light there in the room. And we praise you, Lord, that whatever you have in store for her, she's in the rest. And that she has joy in her heart because she's yours. And we praise you for it, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would come to Morgan in dreams and visions and show him what you want him to do or where you want him to be, Lord. And we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for the provisions that I know that you're going to provide for them to where Geneva can be a stable at home in Jesus' name. Joy in the heart. Be that special helpmate for Morgan in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Anybody else will pray? Well, thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
I just want to thank you, Father, for Geneva and for putting her into this position. That's a very humbling position, and we praise you for that, Father. And we lift up this worker that's going to be watching over Geneva, that whoever it is, it's going to be just sent by you, Lord, and that person is going to get so blessed, and it's going to be a life-changing moment for them. And that there's going to be nothing but good reports coming from this person. And we praise you for that, Father. And we thank you for glorify your name for everything that you're doing in Geneva. Praise you, Father. Amen.
Amen. I believe it with you. Thank you, Father. It's going to be an awesome time. Yeah, go ahead, Ben. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's praying. Okay. Anyone else? You got it, girl. Going to be an easy time.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Got any pizza there?
Sure don't. Sorry there, Michael. Ate it all.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, my. Okay. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? I sent everybody a PDF that has the whole book in it, but we're going to go ahead and finish what we've been reading here in this particular one, because these dreams are not in the book or the PDF, the full PDF. So, and this is a good dream that Rule had, and the good out that all right with everybody. Okay, that's good. That's all I needed. All right. We're down there where it says rules. I'm going to go ahead and start over with the dream. I think he got into it a little ways, didn't he? Or did he? I don't know if he did or not. I was trying to hunt for it. But anyway, I'm going to start all over where it says Jezebel will die by the curse. I don't know. What page is that, Julie? Is that 40?
In the PDF, 11. Yes, on page 11. Yeah.
Oh, 11?
Yeah. Jezebel will die by the curse, real stirred.
Yeah, that's it.
It's on page 11, about halfway through, about the middle of the page.
Okay. He starts out and he says, I dreamed I was at David's house. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. I dreamed I was at David's house and we were having a Bible study about women teaching in the church. And the further along we went, I noticed that people started to leave out the back door of his house. And by the time we got to the end of the study, there was hardly anyone left. It was just David and me and one or two other people who had stayed until the end. So we all said our goodbyes and went out the back door. As I stepped out, I started to walk around to the front lawn of his house, and then my phone rang. And I saw the one calling me was a young man who had recently fallen away, and at first I was thinking about not answering, but he kept on calling, so I answered the phone. He right away started to talk to me about the Bible study that we just had. He said that David was giving false teachings about the subject. He was trying to tell me that women can teach in the church. So I asked him if he had any verses to show me in the Bible that say women can teach in the church, and he was not able to show me even one. So I just started to show him verse after verse that said women are not supposed to be teachers. The more verses I showed him, the more angry he got with me, to the point that he just started to yell at me. Well, no, that feeling. I told him that all I was doing was reading him verses out of the Bible, and that is what I believe we're supposed to be following. I told him that he was not able to show me even one verse to prove what he was trying to say. At that point, he just hanged up the phone. I was kind of surprised at how he had gotten so mad at me for simply showing him verses. David said, Ruel, who lives several states away from us, did know, as we did, that this young man had received some demons, but didn't know that he had just received the Jezebel spirit that makes people believe this doctrine contrary to all scriptures. We had received the same exact angry, unreasonable reply from him to the scriptures, 1 Timothy 2 and 12. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. In Revelation 2 and 20. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication. David says, spiritual fornication is receiving the seed of the world and not our husband like a harlot. Jezebel was known in the Old and New Testaments for women teaching and domineering over men. Then the verses go on, and to eat things sacrificed to idols, David says, partaking of the doctrines of false religion. Verse 21, and I gave her time that she should repent, and she wills not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. The children of Jezebel today who do not repent will die in the great tribulation, which is the second half of tribulation. As I was pondering everything that had, this is Ruel, that had just happened, I looked over to the left side of David's house where his carport would be, but there was no carport, just a window. David said, Ruel didn't know this, but I had seen a window of revelation there, no carport, in a vision about a greater anointing coming to me in a few months before this dream. His neighbor on that side of his house had a long picnic table, and there were about three or four older ladies and about six or seven younger ladies around the table, and they were all talking about something. David said, Ruel didn't know this, but these women were in the yard of a neighbor lady who has been known to be critical, angry, and very domineering to men. Ruel says, I started to walk over toward their house and leaned up against David's window. David said, this is a window of revelation into the spirit realm. Once they saw me, I heard one of the older ladies tell the other girls that they should not talk to me about what they were talking about. It was then that I realized that it was an older lady whom we knew who had told them that. David said, Ruel didn't know that this lady had this Jezebel doctrine and had imparted it to the young man through the false revival spirits. It is one of the common spirits passed on in this movement and causes much divorce and false direction among them. Ruel says, one of the older ladies told her not to worry. Let's try to talk to him. We might be able to convince him. So they started to talk to me about women being able to teach in the church. And I asked them if they had any verses to show me in the Bible that say women are allowed to teach in the church. And they were not able to give me even one verse. So I started to tell them verse after verse. And after a while, I noticed that the younger ladies started to move closer and closer to me, and it seemed they were really listening to what I was saying. This just made the older ladies very mad at me, so they got up from the table and started to walk back and forth in the yard. I could see demons in their eyes, and one by one, the younger girls started to turn back toward the older women. And as they did, they got demons too. In just about 1 minute, they were all walking back and forth, chanting what seemed to me to be some kind of a demonic chant. But at that point, I figured there was nothing more I could say to them. I decided I would go back in the house and tell David what had just happened. I was in deep thought at this point, so I didn't notice that everyone had already gone to bed, so I accidentally walked into the wrong room. I opened the door and looked in, and I saw two of your sons who were in bed sleeping. It was then that I realized that it was late. I looked at my watch, and it was about 12:15 a.m. I tiptoed out of the house so as not to wake anyone. I then crossed the street on the right side of his house, the opposite side as the women on the left at the picnic table. And when I got to the corner, all of a sudden, I got lifted up in the air, and there was this big tree above me, and it seemed that I was caught in the branches. David said, this represents crucifixion by the Jezebel church on the left where Jesus puts the goats. Back to Will. About the same time when I was in the tree, I looked over to the left of his house, and I saw all the girls come running around the front of your house, and two of them came over to where I was caught up in the tree. They had video cameras and were mocking me, and they were trying to film me. I then looked over to the other women who had been running around his house, and they had shovels in their hands and were trying to dig up the foundation of the house. At first, I was a little worried, but I noticed that as they tried to dig, they were not able to even make a dent in the ground because their shovels could not even penetrate the dirt. David says, when our foundation is the word, it is like the rock that cannot be destroyed as the sands of man's beliefs. Will says, I then began to descend from the tree, and the two ladies who were filming me ran away. And I walked over to the back entrance of the house. As I got to the door, there were a couple of girls who had noticed that I was approaching because they were facing the house. They were still trying to dig at the foundation. So as I walked past them and through the door, they got startled and threw some kind of dust on me and ran screaming. I then told David everything that had happened, right up to the part where the girls had thrown something on me. And when I walked back in the house, and he told me not to worry about it, that it couldn't hurt me, he started to walk through the back door, so I went with him. I remember the shirt I was wearing smelled kind of funny, so I threw it away, put on a clean shirt. David said, we must cast off the unclean garment polluted by the Jezebel spirit if we want to walk in the kingdom of God. We're commanded to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the word, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And Will said, we then walked away toward the right side of the house, opposite from the picnic table, and walked to the beach. After we arrived at the beach, we started to walk up a mountain that was at the end of the beach. As we made our way up the mountain, that's the kingdom of God, I noticed there was this big yellow snake up ahead of us that had come up out of the water and was trying to cut us off from our path. David says, a corporate worldwide dragon slash beast. The old serpent, which persecutes the church in Revelation 12 and 13. The second stage is the beast, which came out of the waters in the second half of the tribulation, when the Jezebel children will die. When we got closer to it, I began to see thousands more snakes all over. David said, members of the serpent's body, who make war on the saints. Also, the serpent's bite in the wilderness represented the curses of this world on the unrepentant. I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got any comments or any questions? Okay. Jimmy, you want to read now? Then I'll go to Claire.
Yeah, I can. All right. We just kept on going up the mountain until we got surrounded with snakes. At that point, I realized that they could not hurt us, David says, because of being in the kingdom. And David just bent down and picked up the first snake. We saw it, and it was not able to hurt him. Then I bent down and picked up another one, and it looked like a viper-type snake, only it was pure yellow. David's note that they are afraid of us. The snake tried to bite me over and over, but its teeth could not puncture my skin. David says, the curse and deception represented by the snake bite is ineffectual on those who changed their shirts. We then continued to walk up the mountain, and when we got to the top of the hill, there was this big house with a big two- or three-story deck on the front of it. David says, the Tower of the Flock of Zion, which is the place of holiness, safety, and presence of God. We got rid of the snakes and went up to the top deck, and we could see all the way down the mountain where there were thousands of snakes in the valley. David says, the valley of the shadow of death, which the righteous pass through with clean garments and fear no evil. People were screaming and running all over as the snakes attacked them. A lot of people were dying in the streets. I then said that maybe I could get a job getting rid of the snakes because they could not bite me. David says, this is the job Ruel has now. Ruel means the shepherd or friend of God. But David just smiled at that point and went back into the house. As I walked back into the house, I saw my older sister who asked me what was going on outside. I told her about the snakes, and then I said that we didn't have to worry about them, that as long as we put our faith in the Lord, they couldn't hurt us. And at that point, I woke up. So now there's a new dream. Do you want me to start reading this, or Claire, you can start reading if you like. No? Anybody? Okay.
I don't mind. So I mean, I just thought you read so nicely. You can do another page.
Thank you. Okay. Right. Well, this one's called Prior to the Destruction, the Spirit that Strengthens All Things Feminine. And this was given through Stephen Crowder. A spirit has arisen in your country, my son, a spirit that was put in place according to my will decades ago. It is growing in strength and in influence, and no one shall be able to stop its progress, says the Lord. Those who attempt to do so shall proceed forth in vain. It will be as futile as attempting to stop the rain from falling in Noah's day. This is the great judgment upon your country, and no one will be able to stop it. I will cause it to run its course in your nation. And when things are in their proper place, it is then I will cause the foretold catastrophic events to take place that will crush this modern day harlot known as the United States of America. The spirit of the strong woman riding atop the devil's beast has been going forth and conquering with great subtlety and deception for scores of years in your country. And the purpose in this is to bring forth my desired results as a judgment upon your nation, my great judgment that will lead to her fall, says the Lord. Therefore, make your ear attentive to my words that I shall speak to you here, and then go forth and warn those of my people who will listen so that they will understand that it is the hand of the Lord at work in this matter concerning your country. You must warn them not to intervene in this matter with their prayers, for in this they can only attempt to hinder my purposes, for these things shall come to pass, and they must come to pass, for it is the judgment that I have chosen for her, the United States of America, and set into motion years ago. I have shown other watchmen of mine the horrendous judgments that will come upon your nation, the stars falling from heaven, and the mists and vapors that will fall upon her, leaving countless dead in their wake. What I am showing you here is what will occur just prior to and leading up to these horrific events, for many have cried out to me, Lord, when will these things come to pass, and what will be the sign of their coming? Have I not said that I will do nothing unless I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets? Amos 3:7. There are many of my watchmen scattered about, warning my people that danger looms upon the horizon. But sadly, the great majority of those who call themselves my people only listen to them in order to placate their itching ears. To put it more simply, their hearts cannot truly comprehend what the Lord is saying to his people. For so many have chosen beforehand what they will only hear and what they want to hear, and then discard the rest, lest it become bitter within them. My son, when I told other servants of mine, those who would actually do all that I told them, to eat the book or to eat the scroll, was it not sweet in their mouth, yet it made their stomachs bitter? And yet these blessed ones of mine partook of this bitter meal out of their obedience and out of their love and devotion to me. It is this type of compliance that is pleasing to your Lord. And yet the great majority of those who call themselves by my name never learn to walk in this type of obedience. Instead, they have deceived themselves into thinking that if something becomes bitter to them, it must not be of me. This is the lie that they've chosen to believe in order to keep them from suffering. And sadly enough, this is the great lie that so very many have been given over to, so many, in fact, that if you saw it, your heart simply would not be able to endure it or even comprehend it. This is how great the deception has become in these last days, for sadly, the great majority has chosen to deceive themselves into believing only in part that which I have tried to show them, discarding the rest as though it is of no use to them. My pearls have truly been cast before them, and yet they have foolishly trampled them underfoot. I am not speaking of the world here, my son, but of those who call themselves my people. Let it be known that those who have chosen to follow this course will receive a much greater judgment in the coming days than those who have willingly bore their crosses and who have chosen to suffer rather than to only obey me in the parts that they have chosen. Those who have chosen suffering rather than the fleeting pleasures of this world are the ones who have produced their fruit in the great furnace of affliction, and this fruit can never be taken away from them, where it has been stored where moth and rust can never touch it and where the thief can never take it away. Soon the wheat, those of mine who have produced the true fruit of the Holy Spirit, shall be safely set aside into the barns of my choosing, the safe places that I have reserved for them, while the tares, those who resemble the wheat and grow in the same field, but yet who did not bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the tares, they shall be bundled up together to be burned in a very hot oven. And it is in this oven that the last chances will be given to them to produce fruit meet for repentance, the same fruit as the thief upon the cross brought forth in his last hours upon the earth. Although his life was indeed over, yet he was spared an eternal punishment and was granted a place in the eternal kingdom and the paradise of God. This shall serve as an example for the many who will throw this will serve as an example for the many who will be thrown into the great furnace of affliction in the days to come. Selah. And Pat has his hand up. Michael is muted.
Well, I said go ahead, Pat. But I was muted. Go ahead, brother.
I'm trying to get back to that page again. But it was kind of striking that the very first paragraph there, it says, a spirit has arisen in your country, my son, a spirit that was put in place according to my will decades ago. And everything after that is set on that foundation that God, according to his will, put that Jezebel spirit in place, or had it put in place according to his will. And I'm thinking even of the things that the dreams and the last message that David gave, and these things that are coming upon us, and the pictured in the tsunami wave coming at us, and I get. I'm having a hard time putting my words together because I have this thought and I'm kind of struggling to get the words out. But I guess the thing that I'm seeing is that this kind of strips away the immature, perspective that God, you know, that you receive Jesus and all things are going to be, you know, light and fluffy. And, you know, we've got it made now. We got our ticket punched and we're on the way to heaven and all things are going to be, a piece of cake after this. Of course, that's, I'm sure I'm not talking to anybody here that actually believes that in that way, but it's kind of a mindset that is in the apostate church in a way. But so the thing that hits me is that some of these struggles that we're all going through, I know that I'm going through, in certain battles that I'm having, basically with, you know, the various different spirits and the attitudes and the things coming through the world and all these things that are coming against us, that really the Lord is allowed that environment, shall we say, to come into being in this country and in the world for his good purposes. And and I'm thinking about the parable of I'm thinking about the message about the person was the tsunami. It was in this dream that it was this last message that David gave. And the person was talking about this. He saw this tsunami coming in because the riptide or the tide was going out, and he knew that the tsunami was coming in. And he got ready to run, and the Lord told him to turn around and face it. And so he faced it when it came in, and he just dove into it, or went, you know, face first into it, into a place of death. And he said he wasn't afraid, or she, I'm not sure the person that gave this dream or this prophecy was male or female or whatever. But anyway, and so, and it was also mentioned in that God's intention for us is in this coming time is not simply to make it through by the skin of our teeth, but to ride the wave. In other words, not to battle that wave, but to actually be on top and ride that wave. Now, what that means, I'm not quite sure, but it is obviously massive, destructive, opposition against us. But God wants us to harmonize, in a sense, it related to our authority over it and ride it, control it, be on top of it, not be under it, but be on top of it. And so I'm just looking at like these this portion of the book here that we're reading, and it's the same thing. There's, you know, the Lord has created, has allowed this spirit to come into being here, and it's got to be for the purpose of training us to overcome, to not be in fear of this spirit or the destruction that it can bring, but to be by faith to overcome and ride and be in charge, be in authority over it. So I'm not quite sure. I'm not kind of still putting the pieces together here on this, but it's, I don't know. This portion of it just kind of hit me that, you know, the Lord is in charge, is in charge of this spirit and wants to use it in our lives for a good purpose. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. That's exactly right. It's getting rid of flesh. As long as we stay with the word. Go ahead, Jenny.
Just something was coming to me as Pat was talking about that, and something that someone else said to me one time is that we're living in the days now where every word of prophecy is going to be coming to pass. Everything God planned and ordained. Every word of prophecy and everything that he has planned and ordained is going to be fulfilled in these days.
Yeah. Quickly.
Once it starts. I mean, it has started, but I mean, you know, once the tribulation starts, it's...
It's going to be an awesome time, y'all. All right, Claire, go ahead.
Okie dokie. Do not be Do not be surprised or discouraged, my son, when this message is only received in part by some who hear it. There will be those who attempt to lift you up with great flatteries, and those who will outright despise you for speaking as my mouthpiece, saying in their hearts, "Who is he that he should speak the words of the Lord?" There will be those who will truly be blessed by this message, while others will be blessed only in part, seeing that they've chosen to believe only the parts that they desire, while forgetting the rest. Do not let your heart be heavy or troubled by the rejection that you will see, for they are not rejecting you, but they are actually rejecting me, casting aside my words, and I, the Lord, will deal with them accordingly. As for you, my son, go forth into that which I have allotted for you, and be careful to guard your heart from the snare of pride, for in that which you have proven yourself faithful in, more shall be given. And think not that my hand is not upon you any more when there are periods of peace and silence. For the Lord knows of your endurance, and he will place you in restful places as he sees fit. The spirit of the strong woman riding atop the devil's beast has been at work in your country for decades now. She is haughty and proud, yet reserved and cunning. Spirit of theater has been upon her, causing her to act out her part with great deception. Although she smiles widely in her heart while inflicting cruelty, she will not allow her facial features or her body language to disclose this. It takes great spiritual discernment in order to see this, for its veil is very deceptive and very convincing. This is why I sent you to the stable, and why I kept you there for many days. What was it that you saw while you were there, my son? I said, Lord, I saw a beautiful woman who lived solely for the purpose of controlling the great beasts that she rode upon. This woman possessed exceptional strength and poise, and she was very influential. She received great adulation and many prizes for her mastery of the horses she rode upon. As I watched her, I began to discern many things in my spirit, things that troubled me. And the Lord said to me, What were these things that you saw? I said, Lord, there were many things out of place in this woman's life, as she truly lived to master her control over the horses she owned. Her marriage was one that was based out of convenience rather than love, and I saw very little affection between her and her husband. Rather than seeing two lovers, I saw a man who was used for the talents he possessed. He was used to build things and to fix things in this woman's quest for more, more, and yet still more. And although she was married to this man, whose name means the rock, she refused to take his name, continuing to go by a name that she was not even given by her own father. This prideful thing caused me to shake my head and to ponder why it was this way. And sadly, Lord, I saw that the union of this couple brought forth a child, whom she's orphaned due to her dedication toward mastering the control of these great beasts that she sits upon. I was appalled to see that in her quest to master these horses, it was really the beast itself that was controlling her. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly in this. What is the name of the child that this woman has brought forth? I said, the boy's name is Travis. And the Lord said to me, what you have seen here is very symbolic and a foreshadow of what is happening in the spirit realm. The boy's name means travesty. The woman goes by the name of her own choosing, although she is married to a man named Rocky, the name that means the rock. This is what has become of many people, many of my people in your country. Pay close attention to me as I explain this. Claiming to be married and reserved for me, the great rock of their salvation, many of my people have chosen to go their own way, choosing to go by the names of their own choosing and bringing forth children in a great travesty, children that eventually become orphaned, this being due to their parents being controlled by the beast. These children that they bring forth are an easy prey for the enemy, seeing that they have absolutely no influence from the one that bore them, and in many ways they're abandoned and must fend for themselves during their lifetime. And the Lord said to me, what is it that you have observed concerning the heart and the influence of this woman who sits upon the beast? I placed you for many months as a fly upon the wall so that you could observe her and learn. Tell me now, what is it that you have seen? I said, Lord, I saw with great disdain that was brought forth toward all men, although it was veiled with a smile and a type of feminine pose that I was able to see through. What I actually saw was more masculine than it was feminine, and it was concealed by a front that was very beguiling. I saw a great disdain for men that poured forth from this woman, and it affected all of the women around her and within her sphere of influence. And once in the spirit, I actually saw this woman standing with the other woman of like spirit. She was boasting and saying, the actual purpose of men is to serve us and to kiss our backsides. Lord, I feel badly saying this, but that's exactly what was shown. And the Lord said, you have seen correctly in this. I said, Lord, this woman was rich, and she was married to a man who was also rich. And through her wealth, she was able to control people with a cruelty that was so also masked behind a beautiful smile. While buying herself many expensive things, she stated that she simply could not afford to pay her servants any more than the meager wages she offered them. And what shocked me the most is that I saw other women coming to her and paying her to teach them how to be just like her. Oh, and these women also had a great disdain for men, saying in their hearts, you may clean up after our animals, but you can never be our friend. And it was common to hear them saying such things as typical male reasoning and typical male response as their prideful boasting poured out of their lips. At this, I wanted to become violent, but I was restrained from doing so. Lord, what does all of this mean? And the Lord said to me, my son, I've placed you within the confines of the stable in order to show you the heart of the spirit that is sweeping your nation. It is cruel and cunning, using the wiles of a woman who has patiently waited for a chance to control things. The beast she is riding upon is none other than your adversary, the devil. And although she attempts to control him, it is actually he that is controlling her. This is a spirit, and it is going to run its course in your country, using its influence to bring forth my desired results. And then her end will come, before the whole world. Do you want me to continue? Okay. I'm raising up the spirit of the strong woman in your country, and in her quest for power, she will act very cruelly, although her feminine wiles will cause her to appear beautiful. She will have a great disdain for men and will treat them as mere servants to fulfill her needs, although she will claim to be submissive. This spirit is going to affect every facet of your society, including politics, religion, and especially the entertainment industry. I said, Lord, just how will this affect our country and how will it manifest itself? And the Lord answered my request and said, in the entertainment industry, women and men are going to change positions. You will more and more see women becoming the heroines with the men serving them and being made to look foolish. You will more and more see women leading the way as hunting and fishing guides and carpenters and supposed experts in the fields that men once dominated. You will see more women in professional sports and women dominating the music industry. Many of the songs that they will bring to create popularity will speak in demeaning ways about men, and this will influence many. And as is presently the case, the most popular music will be about sex and love, and this theme will continue in its ever-seeking quest to deceive people that sexual love or lust is to be equated with true love. Some of the worst examples that you will see will come from the television, as beautiful women will be used to seduce many, this being due to their physical attractiveness and their talents in being able to act. They will be like so many beautiful puppets on the stage, spitting out lines that have been created by those who are completely given over to doing evil. People called screenwriters and songwriters who abhor the Lord and desire to play out this hatred by flaunting their well-conceived words and scenarios in front of all people. Increasingly, the good versus evil theme will be artfully projected as woman versus man, with man being the evil character. And this will seduce many into siding with this way of thinking and acting. When you hear them singing the words, I am woman, hear me roar, know that the time of the end is quickly drawing very near for your country, and that her judgment will soon come quickly and without mercy. You will see women rise.
Does anybody remember that song? That was by Madonna, wasn't it? Who was it by?
I believe it was Helen Reddy.
No. Was it Helen Reddy?
It was Madonna. I think it was Helen Reddy.
Okay.
I'll look it up real quick.
It was by Jezebel. That's who it was. Thank you, Phil. That's exactly who it was by. Old Jezzy coming through with a song there. And there was another song out. That was Material Girl. That was by Madonna. That was okay. Okay. Anybody got any comments on what's been said so far?
I'm just curious. I wonder when this guy Crowder was given this word. You know, how long ago was he given this word? Because this started happening like in the 60s, I think. Because the Helen Reddy song was
1972. Yeah. Anyway. That's R-E-D-D-Y. I think I remember that anyway. Okay, Claire. Okay. It could have been back in the early 70s, Julie. I don't remember. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay. You will see women rising in power and influence within the world of religion, with an ever-increasing abundance of them pastoring churches and teaching my word from the pulpit. Is it not written in my word by the Apostle Paul that I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain silent? 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. And was it the Apostle Paul speaking or was it the Lord? Paul was merely a messenger, a chosen vessel, as it were, to speak my words. There's nothing wrong with a woman sharing with the brethren that which the Lord has given her. But that is a completely different thing than it is for her to stand up in front of all and teach. In your country, you are going to see more and more women standing before all and teaching them from my word. And the people will love to have it so, says the Lord. For it is easy to teach from the well of knowledge, and there shall be many brilliant ones that will stand up and boldly proclaim the word of God, all the while not knowing that they are only a small part of the overall plan that the Lord has in order to bring the spirit of the rebellious woman into its final place of power before the great hammer falls. These women will be greatly influential, speaking of the great things that our Lord has done. But this will not be the type of preaching that comes from being led by the Holy Spirit. At best, it will be earthly, speaking to the natural man to come and get saved by Jesus in order to prevent an eternity in hell. And this type of preaching will be very common in the days to come, and there will be those who will come forth in order to receive me into their lives. But there will be those who will go on from here and who will make me not only their savior, but more importantly, their Lord and Master. And they will see the need to forsake men's systems, and they will gather only unto me and will not attach themselves to the systems of man anymore. These will indeed be the blessed ones of my flock, says the Lord. Within the world of religion, you're going to see the powerful woman growing in strength and influence. And the feminine things that reside in the area of the soul shall become more and more manifest. There will be movements coming that will operate completely within the emotions, with great deceptive fits of crying and wailing. These will be called manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Wow. No more laughing and barking like dogs, but weeping and wailing and crying, all in the name of the Lord. It shall be said in that day, and rightly so, that the time of great sorrows is soon to be upon us, therefore the great bouts of weeping. This too shall be a great deception, for it shall be wailing from the soul, and not out of conviction brought forth from the Holy Spirit. And all the while the people will say, we are weeping due to the time of great sorrows. Behold how the Lord will bottle our tears and pour them back down upon us in a great blessing. Oh. I say to you that you will see manifestations in that day that will absolutely stun you due to their completely carnal nature. And yet the people will continue to say that will come forth from the emotions of men and women due to the strength and influence of the Spirit that shall strengthen all things feminine. It shall not only be women who will be affected by the Spirit, says the Lord, but men who shall also open up to it and become affected. The evidence of this will be in them bowing down and serving these strong women in an undue manner. This manner shall go away past that of normal servitude. It shall be geared at lifting women up to a highly elevated place and submitting to them with great zeal. Wow. Men who are affected by this spirit will also become much more emotional, even to the point of acting effeminate as part of their walk. There will be men who are infected by the spirit who will have great ministries that will become geared more and more toward the emotional side of things. And they too will be highly influential in the days to come. Sadly, though, what they will equate with the blessing of the Lord in that day will be no more than great emotional outpourings that are a direct result of the leavening of this spirit. It is written in my word, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts in Zechariah 4, verse 6. And that which you shall see in that day shall not be done in the power of my spirit, but by the power of the Spirit that I shall allow to rise in power, and that people shall be given over into that day, says the Lord.
Wow. Don't forget that. It's coming. I don't think it's here yet. But it's coming.
I think it might be here, Michael. I've seen a few.
Okay.
I've seen a few things.
Have you? Okay. I believe it.
There's that one guy. Jordan Peterson, and young men love him. They just flock to him. He fills stadiums, and we even had fellowship with some people a few years ago who they really loved his teachings. I'd say that was probably the things that they listened to the most, a young couple. But the guy's off because he's not Christian, or he just speaks about these Christian tenets and Christian values. You know, he's not doing, and very emotional. It's not right.
Wasn't he a philosopher of some sort?
He's like the best known psychologist of his time. So I have heard that he's gone through severe trials, and his wife has embraced religion, and that he might have embraced it. But we can only pray for the man, because he can be one of these great men for God. We all saved from something.
Jordan Peterson, Judy.
Yeah.
I think I saw him on something. He is a really
articulate.
Yeah, very, very brainy.
Yeah.
I saw something that my sister sent to me on him, and it's a different subject that had nothing to do with Christianity so much as what it did about my previous employer and what he was noting about them. It was no coincidence. Anyhow, yeah, I know who he is now. Yeah, there's some real good talkers out there. Very charming and seductive and misleading, misguiding. And we really got to be discerning.
You know, if you look, the false revival was a physical thing. It was physical manifestations. It was physical feelings that their Kundalini spirit gave. Now they're talking about the same thing, emotional, being real emotional and wailing out and all this stuff. And yeah, it's all flesh stuff. All right. Now we're fixing to get into the political arena. Speaking of that, there are a number of women that are rising stars in the conservative movement in this nation. I can't think of their names right off the top of my head, but I've seen them, you know, pushed forward, so to speak, because of their beliefs, and they're willing to speak out against the leftists. Okay. Go ahead, Claire, if you want to keep going.
No, someone else can, maybe a baritone voice, you know.
All right, Joe. Maybe a baritone. Go for it, buddy.
Okay, let me just get this. In the political arena, are you going to see women rising into more and higher positions of authority, says the Lord? The spirit that is in the world in your country will empower them to boldly into places that have been in the past being dominated by men. Ultimately, you will see women attain to the highest office in the land, being swept into the office by those who are under the influence of the spirit. As part of a political campaigning, you will see evidence of this powerful spirit at work in your, if you're looking for it. It will be very obvious to see in that day whether this woman will attain to the highest executive office in the land, due to running as number one or number two on a campaign ticket. Does not matter. She will attain to the highest position at my appointed time. Whether it be due to winning by attrition or winning by election. And at that time, you shall see the great many rejoicing in that so-called victory, not knowing all the why, but it is the Lord who has set that table before them, and they shall eat a very bitter harvest. Of this new leader, it has been said decades before that she shall be a well-dressed and beautiful, but cruel in her heart. Her heart will be as far from the Lord as north is from the south, and she had led the country into its final ruin. Again, when you heard the words, I am woman, hear me roar, take great heed, for the time of the end in your country is soon to be upon you. And you will stand absolutely shocked at what you will see happening in the days to come, says the Lord. When I cursed a woman in a cup.
Hang on just a minute. First thought that came to my mind when they was talking about this woman coming up to the highest position was Clinton. But later on, it said she was beautiful, so that just knocked her out. Well, I'm just saying. But she's not going to be the one. She's not going to be the one. Go ahead, Cheryl. I just had to make that little comment.
When I cursed the woman in the Garden of Eden, part of that curse was that the desire would be for a man's position of authority, for it is written, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So it is in your country, my son, for women are now heading into the final phase of a great takeover that has been ordained years ago. And what the people shall call a great blessing shall in fact be a great curse, a terrible judgment that will mark the end of the United States of America, a country that had, years before, sold itself out to the evil. It is written in my word, but the house divided against itself cannot stand. In this case, powers in your country, my son, the United States of America, I have and I will cause women and men, men and women of this country to be divided against one another. And when their end will come, do not pray against what your Lord has already ordained, but warn the people of a coming judgment and tell them to get their hearts right before the Lord, to hold on steadfastly to what's right, even though everything around them are going to be completely off course and contrary to the Lord's will. I am the Lord, and I will protect my own in that day. Although they will walk through the valley of death, they will not fear, for I will be with them. There will be great mourning in that day, for the slain of the Lord will be many, and this will include friends and family, as well as those who have persecuted you. In that day, says the Lord, fear will be far from you, although you will lament those who had fallen by the sword and by the multitude of pestilence about you. In that day, says the Lord, you will know without a doubt that it is by my hand that you stood, and that you are my people, and blessed will you be in that day, which is the word of the Lord. I received this word in 2001, sometime between January and July. The Lord was saying, but the saying, I am woman, hear me roar, would be one of the earmarks that will be popular when the Spirit really got going, succeeding in elevating a woman to the great political power. The Spirit of God said that the woman would ascend to the highest office in the land and that she would attain that position either by election or by attrition. My thinking in this is that there could possibly be a woman running on the ticket as a vice president candidate, only to become president at a later time. It is said that this woman, once she gets into office, will be the last president. Interestingly enough, I heard a song being sung at an advertisement for a network on TV called the Oxygen Network recently. I was surprised to hear it. Your brother, Stephen Crowder. As you can see in church, home, and government, women are to be subject unto the men, which is the only way both will be happy. God bless you to be humble to his word. Pray for women's ministries that they will be part of a solution and not part of a problem. Pray for me if you think me wrong. At least give me credit for being convinced by scriptures. God bless you, your servant in Christ, David Hills. Is that gone? Somebody else, Marie?
No, hang on just a second. You know, it would probably behoove us to keep this somewhere close to where you can review this every now and then, because he's given us a timeline here. And there are Jezebels out there that are wanting to be president in a very strong way. And there are men that are pushing them to do that. I was listening to a lady today. What's the lady's name out here in Arizona? That's, can't think of her name, but they're calling her. Yeah.
Carrie Lake.
Carrie Lake.
Yeah. They're touting her as a possible presidential candidate. Beautiful lady, but she's a bit older.
Okay. It makes me wonder, Michael, that, you know, we're right in the midst of a move here, you know, where the Babylonians system is going down and the Media Persian is coming into play. And this patriotic flood that is coming in right now is going to kind of wipe out the, shall we say, the rising stars of the democratic or liberal, you know, socialist, you know, mentality type thing. And I think that, to me, I think that it is almost like a perfect fit for what David is saying here for these people like Carrie Lake or Tulsi Gabbard or that sort of mentality that is gearing up and riding that that new political force that's coming in, you know? So, who knows?
Yeah, well, according to what this guy was saying there, you know, there's going to be women running everything, it looks like. Political, entertainment, what have you. And it's that spirit that was brought in back in the early 50s, late 40s. And really came to light in the 60s. And then from then on, it's just really, as all of us know, you know, people who had that problem. Yeah, Andy.
I just want to know, like, where are you getting all this? Like, are you getting this from the last email you sent us? Women?
No.
Already booked there? No, or?
This was the first one. This is what we left off with last week.
Oh, okay. Can I ask you to send me that again? Somebody to send me that again, because I don't think I have one anymore.
Okay.
I thought you wanted us to dump that one and wait for the new one.
I did, but I don't know if you wrote here earlier when I said we're going to go ahead and talk about these because they're so needful in the time that we're in, and I thought we'd go ahead and do this.
Sure thing. Yeah. But I still like to have.
But we will go to the one that I sent today after we finish this, which will probably be sometime today. Yeah, Judith.
The link, that email that I sent you, and it was in that email I sent you the other day. There's a link to it that goes right to the UBM site that has it, if you want to forward that.
Andrew. Okay. But what I'll probably do is go back and get the message that I sent everybody and send it back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably the quickest way for me to do it. Okay, now we're getting into some testimonies, and I think it's really nice. And Joe, did you want to continue talking? Or you know what, Joe? Let me tell you a little secret here. I'm learning how you talk by you reading, and I'm reading it here too, and I can understand how you're saying these words was entirely different than we say them in Arkansas. And it helps me a lot to understand your verbiage. So that's great.
It's good to hear. Okay. Here is a letter from a dear sister who was moved by this article and passed it around. I am so glad to hear you are teaching the word women authority. It has made me understand that I was living in a terrible sin and has impacted my life greatly. It is a very difficult change that is occurring to me, in me, but one of my father has promised to finish in me. In fact, I have begun to share the message with some of my girlfriends and other women. I expected eventually to have egg thrown in my face for it, but so far, the Lord has truly blessed everyone with this message. It's making a huge impact in their lives also, albeit very slow progress. I have 42 years of wrong thinking to undo, but I praise God for our diligence and obedience in sharing his word. And I praise him from whom all blessings flow. I know he will finish the work he has begun in me. God bless you and your family. The next one is respect from Ben Lucas. We are talking about love, but it's another how-to. A special note to ladies. This is a scriptural and common sense way to keep your husband loving you and only you, including your romantic sense, forever, and a way to protect him from and or her to reclaim him from any midlife crisis or other relationship crisis. This principle has worked for centuries, and it has always worked for both ladies who will live it. Please understand that no one has tried it, ever said it was easy, and there is a world of difference between believing it and living it. For proof, remember that many times some of you have seen Bank who has eyes only for a fat lady, but you must have picked up at the circus or for some other ugly looking to you lady. Another point that must be mentioned in many men are influenced and some are owned by the devil. It is impossible for a rational person, male or female, to respect the devil. If you think you are someone you love, it is in a situation ripe for more information. Here's a verse, Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 31, Amplified. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being in a sense his very own self, and let the wife see that she respect and reverence her husband. But she notice him, regards him, honor him, prefers him, venerate and esteem him. And that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Webster's list of English words with the same or nearly the same essential meaning as respect and reverence. The latter includes the word adore, in a sense that does not apply to deity. Right. From a note from the Amplified Bible. I know that for most American women, the response to this will be impossible. I can't do that. Why should I do that? But when you understand the nature of a beast, you will be able to use the scriptural principle to help him become a man. He's supposed to be. Man is capitalized on purpose for emphasis. You can, by reading this and living it, improve, enhance, shape, complete, and even over time, enable him to be less of a beast, at least to you. The reason the scripture orders his wife to respect the husband is because he needs it. He needs you to become a man, our Father designed him to be. Remember by scripture, it is not good for a woman to be alone, and I will make a help meet for him. KJV, helper and a counterpart in the Young Literal Translation and suitable, adapted, completing, and amplifying. Many, if not most, midlife crises are not really about sex. Very few adulterous relationships are about sex. They are about, look at me. Pay attention to me, listen to me. And if you could hear his true heart's cry, it would be, please listen. I need for you to pay attention to me, please. Rejection, especially continued rejection, hurts a man so bad or worse than a bullet wound. Most boys and men have not asked girls and women for dates because of a fear of rejection. A long continued, leave me alone and or the silent treatment is the worst possible thing that can be done to a man or woman. In real life, leave me alone, carried to its logical conclusion in outer darkness. Solitary confinement is the worst punishment ever devised. Briefly, the midlife crisis or other illegal relationship usually develops. When you won't, and she will pay attention to him, ladies. I know better than most of you, are many exceptions, but in counseling, men I find far fewer exceptions than women are willing to believe. To illustrate how desperately man needs your respect, in a sense of definition above, let's look at Jesus' prayer and use it to show what you even Jesus wants and I won't believe, and I believe needs at least some degree the type of respect that we're talking about in John 17:24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me when I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus wants his bride to pay attention to him and to truly see his glory and excellence, his very self. Is he male? You bet he is. His prayer makes his maleness unmistakable. So is it wrong for a man to want and even need your attention, your respect? No, it's simply the nature of your beast, of a beast. It's the way God made him and a male kind of mankind. If you will think about it, this definition of respect is love in action. And if you will think about it in a minute more, you will realize that you need and want to respect him. In fact, women created by God, God himself to be respected by husbands. How many times have I heard, and you have heard, I love him, but I just can't respect him. This complaint is a woman simply stating her built-in nature and need to respect the husband. And how desperately deprived and hurt and neglected and betrayed rightly feels when he does or says things in such a way that you cannot respect him. In reality, a woman is truly a woman when she recognizes that the man is her other half just as truly as she is his other half. We complete and complement and help each other, what we're supposed to be by God's command. Instead of Adam and Eve, think Adam 1 and Adam 2, and when they properly together or completed by our mankind. Notice, God said this part of his creation was not good, because the man alone was incomplete. Interestingly, this is the only part of God's creation that he didn't approve. But thankfully, at least I am thankful he did fix this part, because man alone is still incomplete. Bible-believing and obeying ladies are ordered to respect their husbands. Or, if you want to be treated like a queen, treat him like a king on a basic golden, over basic golden rule. Do you ever do unto others what you want to do unto yourself, done to you? And I always add, if you were in a bad situation, a man has a built-in craving for attention. Remember the one who squealed, his tires fell off, or didn't fall off his bicycle, or some other silly thing, just trying to get your attention. He needs your respect, your attention, your admiration, to be complete in his own eyes, and in God's eyes. Yes, your completeness depends upon you being able to respect your husband.
Amen.
Can I go on?
How many, of, really you men ever, how many of you men ever showed out for little girls' respect, huh? Huh? I know y'all lying if you say you had. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
I'm really sorry to add this, ladies. I know the husband is supposed to love, lead, to nurture, to supply, and to praise and respect his wife. But something horrible has happened in America. Men don't lead, don't know how to lead, and are afraid to lead. So you will probably have to start this as a do-it-yourself with God's help project. But if you will respect him, he will love you and pay attention to you. And thus he will learn to love properly, to become a man our Father planned, and you expected rightly him to be or became. Ladies, this chapter was an article in the E-Zine series on love. In case you think I missed it, you might be interested that I did not get and I have not received since even one letter attacking these conclusions from a man.
Okay. Let's stop there just a moment. I know that there are women that men just really don't like to lead, but if you'll just love them into that lead and just back off and not lead them because he won't lead and allow him to have to lead. That's the way to do it, but do it in love. And just, how many of you were brought up you don't have to raise your hand, just think about it just a moment. I bet there are a lot of people raised in a Jezebel household when you were small. And And I know I was not, so I can't talk about it too much. Because my dad was, he was king. I mean, that was it. He was final authority. He knew where he stood. And my wife and my mother knew where he stood. And, but anyway, I'm trying to, I know we minister with a lot of, a few men and women that, the wife would get frustrated because the man won't take the lead, even if he sees the word that says that. And I've heard David minister to the women and tell them, just pray for them, keep praying for them, back off and allow the man to have to do, take the lead. And the way you do that is just don't do it. Just leave it until he takes the initiative to go ahead and get it done because he's tired of looking at it or whatever it is, you know. Does that make any sense or not? Okay. And the man, look, you've got your responsibility is to lead. And when you lead, that means lead your wife and your family. If she asks you where you want to eat, just tell them, let's go eat over here, let's go eat over there, wherever, you know, that kind of thing. But I'll tell you, you know, at times you can ask, well, where would you like to eat? And if they say, well, we're just wherever you want to eat, I say, okay, we'll eat over here. A lot of times they just leave it up to the wife to make that decision and make her make that decision because they don't want to make that decision because they don't want to make anybody mad. But you know what your wife likes. You know what your family likes. Just go to Burger King or somewhere like that and get it all done, you know. But wait a minute, We've decided not to do that anymore. We can't do that anymore. We'll have to go to salad bar. What salad bar you want to go to? I don't know. Which one you want to go to? Where is a salad bar? But anyway. Okay. Well, yeah, there you go. Where is that, Julie?
A lot of times it's not in the restaurants.
Yeah, a lot of times it's not. Right. I mean, well, we ain't gonna go there. Okay, Ben, would you like to read some? Get me out of here because I don't. Restaurants. Husbands, love your wives.
I yeah. Where you are. We are still discussing love. We, Christian husbands, have orders. They are not suggestions to love our wives. We will highlight the ways and reasons to love her and to explain how to biblically love your wife. Please know, no one who has ever tried to really love his wife over time without regard to personal cost, there is a cost, would ever suggest that it was easy or cheap. Words alone or from the teeth out are not really loving, but you can, if you will, love your wife. Jesus Christ is our King, and he is also our ever living and continuing example. It is very important to realize that it is impossible for a rational person to continue to love a devil. I know it's a big joke to some. Many women are influenced and some are owned by the devil. If you or someone you love is in this situation, write for more information. Ephesians 5:33, King James. Nevertheless, let every one of you. I just lost my spot because of my cat. Sorry. where am I here?
Jezebel cat, get rid of it, man. Get rid of it, quick.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Notice there are no exceptions. Every husband is ordered to love his own wife and to love her as he loves himself. Let's take a moment and comment on the different culture we are living in today. In Paul's day, a man who hated himself was so rare that Paul, Jesus, and others used to this expression to talk about love. Those who hate themselves are unfortunately not rare today. And so, I note, a person who hates himself consciously or unconsciously has nothing with which to love his wife or his neighbor, or even the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Proverbs 12:10. Briefly, scriptural love is Matthew 22:37, King James. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Matthew 22:38, King James. This is the first and great commandment. Matthew 22:39, King James. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:40, King James. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12, King James. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That is, to love others as you love yourself. You do unto others what you would want them to do for you if you were in their situation. Thus, Paul tells us to do the golden rule to our wives, which is doing to and for them what we would want done to and for ourselves. If we were in their situation, here's a hint. The most common complaint of wives is, he won't talk to me. The most common complaint among husbands is, she won't listen, pay attention to me. There are some causes and reasons that are not the husband's or the wife's fault, and most of these problems are relatively easily fixed by learning how. The reason we can say for certain that the two, do unto others and love your neighbor as yourself, are the same is the phrase Jesus gives with both. For this is the law and the prophets, or the Old Testament command is love God and your neighbor. And the New Testament command is the same. Gentlemen, may I suggest with Paul, and your wife is the closest neighbor you have. Love her. But there is more. It is not enough to love her as you love yourself. Ephesians 5:5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Holy Spirit, through Paul the Apostle, says, husbands, every one of you, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Love her in the same way, to the same degree, and with the same faithfulness, intensity, and passion that he loved the church. Always remembering, Jesus gave himself for her, dying a criminal's death in her place and for her. Since I do a lot of counseling, I would like to suggest that at least a few American Christian husbands might want to consider looking about the above, with the idea that personal improvement just might be possible. In my experience, most Christian wives are ecstatic when their husbands are even willing to think about changing for the better. Oh, by the way, it is interesting to note that Jesus continues loving us when we mess up and even when we disobey. Thus, we must continue, like Jesus, to love our wives as long as she obeys us as well as the church. I mean, in real life, not religious words. Including you, obey Christ. I know a man is never happier with his wife as when she understands that he is so involved or committed to the current project that he doesn't have time for her right now. But this should be very rare in Christian marriage. How many times has Christ been too busy to pay attention to you in your earnest prayers? Football games, unless you are actually in the game personally, do not qualify for the above. But sadly, it has become a standing joke in America, even for Christians. Matthew 19:5, King James, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Matthew 19:6. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Jesus is quoting Genesis here. And he's saying, leave your father and mother in favor of your wife. Stick to, cleave to your wife more than the culture, more even than the TV. The culture we are part of is described in Isaiah 3:9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil with themselves. And Jeremiah 6:15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Yes, our American culture is anti-Christian, anti-genuine love. This culture, fed by the media, constantly characterizes Christianity as dumb and sex as love. But the sex act without love is only that, just an act, without any lasting meaning to the parties involved. And about Christians being dumb, ignorant, etc., please consider that what happens to God's people, God's own people who forget and or in an effort to fit in, refuse to learn God, his ways, will, and commandments. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. The only explanation I can offer for America's present condition is God has forgotten our children. Thank God for the exceptions.
Amen. Hang on just a second. I remember talking about making people look dumb, Christians look dumb. Even the men have been placed in a derogatory situations a lot. I remember the Nelson family. Anybody remember that other than myself? Okay, you remember how that Mr. Nelson was always the bunt of all the jokes and stuff, and Harriet was the good, smart one of the family? I do. I remember that, because that was just completely opposite the way it was at my house. And I said, well, what is this going on here? Y'all remember what I'm talking about? They put what was his name? Rick. Was it Rick? No, that was a boy.
Ozzy.
Ozzy and Harriet. Yeah, I knew that. But then that wasn't the only show. There was lots of shows they made. Tim Allen, that's another one. You know, that show that he had, he was always the bunt of jokes. The husband was. Yeah, the show Bewitched demonstrated that also. There was a lot of shows that did that. But anyway, even the comedians, they make fun of the husbands and that they're just dumb men, you know. That ain't necessarily true. I'm just here to tell you that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Because it's not that way in real life in most instances, I wouldn't think. Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to comment on? Yeah, Pat.
So, of course, that's been a running tradition in the entertainment, the television, movies, etc. Whenever you have a family situation, the husband or the father is usually the numbskull, or the, you know, kind of the idiot or whatever. And it's usually the teenage son or daughter or whatever that are really the intelligent ones that are going to, you know, they're holding the stability of the family together, so to speak. But the bottom line of the thing is the devil, his whole purpose in that is not necessarily to make the husband or the father look weak and the woman to look strong, etc. It's to turn upside down the structure of authority that God has placed, that has created. And it's so essential from the devil's point of view to attack that authority structure first, because it is that very culture environment of authority and the need to submit to authority, which is humbling, which is absolutely essential in cooperating with God's Spirit in order to allow the life of Christ, humble ourselves to the work. Christianity 101 is humility, learning humility. And that is submission to authority. And that is the very first thing that the devil wants to destroy, wants to get us all out from underneath our authority and to rebel and do our own thing. And so that's, to me, that's the very first thing that the devil tries to destroy, and the very first thing that God wants to restore within us is that humility and that respect for authority, etc. So I just toss that in kind of on the side.
Amen. Okay. I'm gonna let's see. Just give that 3 pages to go. 2.5 pages. Y'all just read the rest of it yourself, and then next week or Thursday we'll continue with the new PDF, and we'll just start anew because it's all different. All right. Any questions? Anybody want to comment on anything that we've talked about tonight? Anybody repented yet? Just asking. Go ahead, dude.
I'm just curious.
Oh, wait a minute. Jerry, I muted you rather than lowered your front of your hand. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I just
shows right. The authority we have here. I'm just saying. Go ahead, Jerry.
Amen. Amen. You do have that authority, Michael. You can mute me anytime that you need to. I'm curious. The beginning of this revelation that he had on where it says about, you know, not praying about this or how we're supposed to pray about this. Do you remember what I'm talking about in the very beginning you said that? I'm just curious how we pray about this, except that the Lord raise up the men who they're supposed to be. And we can't pray against, we know it's going to happen, that these things are prophesied to happen. I'm just curious if anyone has any suggestions, ideas, how to pray about what we just read. And there's things we can't pray about, but.
Are you talking about Stephen Crowder's revelation there?
Yeah, in the very beginning, he said not to pray about these things.
Well, the thing that we do pray about is to protect the elect.
Yeah.
You know, and protect our families, bring our families into the kingdom. Yeah. As far as stopping God, go ahead and try.
No, I'm not just talking to you. No, I'm just how to pray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just how to pray, you know, correctly about that. Because we don't want to pray against what God's will is, you know, because we know it has to manifest and has to happen. But I guess just pray against the deception for God's people, that they would be able to see these things happening and not, that they would repent for and not get caught up in it, that the Lord would give them light where that, you know, these things are happening. And, you know, I guess we all know people who are operating in that spirit of Jezebel and Ahab, and how the enemy has twisted and perverted the truth and such that, you know, men don't know who they're supposed to be. And there's so much deception, and they're training kids to not know, you know, trying to just, you know, confuse them. They don't know who they are. So, you know, it's just kind of hard sometimes to.
I mean, it's.
Do that.
The men have a very important position to adhere to. Very important. As do the women. Both of them do. Don't get me wrong. But that love factor is important, probably the most important part of it, because if you're going to show the love of Jesus, you got to show it to everybody. Sometimes it's hard with some, sometimes it's not. So, Lord, we just ask and we pray, Father, that these revelations of your love in us, and that we would reciprocate with that love to the world and to our families and to our wives and husbands. And Father, we ask that you just change our heart into your heart, because that'll just make us so much better. And the way we do that, Lord, as we know, is to study your word about that. And we praise you, we glorify you that you are doing that in us, Lord. And get us ready for these times the crowd was talking about, that we would remember when that women roar, whatever he said, didn't it? That we'd know, hey, we're there if we're not already into it. And Father, we just thank you. We glorify you for all that you're doing in us, to making us the man and woman of God that you want us to be, so that we can show the people coming out of the apostate churches and coming to you, Lord, how it is to be loved by God's people. Loved into the kingdom. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for doing that in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, give us all a good night's sleep tonight, those that are fixing to go to bed. And those that have got the rest of the day to go, Lord, bless their day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, warm it up around here. I'm asking. Just asking. Warm it up around here. I don't like this cold weather. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Put your love in us to be loved. That's right. Thank you. All right. Y'all be blessed. You hear?